Proposition 37 could make California the first state in the country to require labels on foods made with genetically modified ingredients. It's shaping up to be one of the most contentious and expensive battles on the state's November ballot. On one side, organic food groups that have spent about $3 million in support of the labeling law. On the other, biotech firms like Monsanto and food giants like Pepsi that are spending upwards of $28 million to keep GMO labels off food packages. The ballot measure raises a host of issues, but at the heart of it, as KQED science reporter Amy Standen explains, there are questions about science and how it's perceived.
On the face of it, Proposition 37 sounds pretty straightforward. If it passes, about half of what you find here at the grocery store would have a label on it. Stacey Malkin with the Yes on 37 campaign points down a long row of cereal boxes.
Many of these products have corn syrup, corn starch, sugar beets, soy products.
Here in the United States, about 90% of those foods are grown from seeds that have been genetically modified. That means scientists made changes in the plant's DNA to make the plant, say, resist pests or stay fresh longer. And Malkin thinks that is something that consumers should know about with a label.
It's not like a warning sticker on the front of the package or a skull and crossbones or anything like that. It's literally a few words added to existing labels, just indicating that it's partially produced with genetic engineering.
But to the No on 37 camp, there is nothing benign about a label. Take, for instance, Kent Bradford at UC Davis.
Look at the numbers on the greenhouses here.
Bradford's leading me toward a cluster of greenhouses on the UC Davis campus, right off the freeway.
So here we are in the greenhouse. This is a greenhouse we have for lettuce plants.
Now, here's the problem, he says. Lettuce plants have evolved a specific seasonal rhythm. Their seeds lay dormant when it's hot, and then they germinate when it rains. But it's getting hotter here in California, and farmers want to be able to grow lettuce all year round, not just when it rains. So Bradford's team is developing a new kind of lettuce seed.
If we just turn off this one gene, it eliminates that mechanism of inability to germinate at high temperature.
Problem solved. Now, what bothers Bradford about Proposition 37 is that genetic modification, it isn't an ingredient like saturated fat. It's a technology, one that can do, he says, a lot of good.
You really wouldn't want to label a screwdriver as dangerous just because someone might poke it through their hand or something. That is.
If Proposition 37 passes and consumers see that GMO label, he fears they'll think the entire technology is flawed and dangerous.
Why would they be putting this on the label if it weren't something that I should be concerned about?
And that is the question that many consumers have about genetically modified foods. Are they safe? Unfortunately, the body of research here is just tiny. A handful of small studies done on mice which suggest possible links to immune system and other problems. Some critics also say that plant scientists may not always know the full long-term implications of what they're growing, and that current regulations don't require enough testing. Now, it's worth noting that these concerns have not convinced the American Medical Association or the FDA. Both say that genetically modified foods are safe to eat and do not need to be labeled. But opponents of GM foods, like Yes on 37's Stacey Malkin, aren't reassured.
The jury is definitely still out on the health effects, and in many ways, the evidence hasn't even been presented.
So where did this feeling, this general distrust and concern about genetically modified foods, come from? UC Davis scientist Belinda Martineau points her finger squarely at the biotech industry itself.
Whose fault is it if the public is worried about it?
Martineau comes at this debate from an unusual place. As a scientist at Davis-based Calgene back in the 90s, she helped invent the Flavor Saver tomato, the world's first commercially available genetically modified food. She says at Calgene, they really didn't know how it was going to go over.
Jurassic Park came out while we were readying the tomato for the marketplace. We were worried about it. We were worried about the public's perception.
So Calgene made a choice. Total transparency. The Flavor Saver wasn't just labeled. It came with a brochure.
Shaped like a tomato. It actually explained the genetic engineering technology in lay terms that people could understand. And then it had a 1-800 number.
Martineau says the company wanted to label the Flavor Saver because they were proud of it.
Well, we believed in what we were doing, and so we thought that if we were careful about it and transparent about it, that we could convince the public that they should be as enthusiastic about it as we were.
And shoppers were enthusiastic. Flavor Savers flew off the shelves. In fact, what killed the Flavor Saver in the end, it wasn't the public's fear of genetic engineering. It was the technology itself. Flavor Savers didn't taste any better than regular tomatoes, and they cost too much. For Martineau, there is a lesson here. Not labeling, she says, it makes the industry look like it has something to hide. Labeling, she says, it's an opportunity.
This is one of the best ways the industry can turn public opinion around, is to be honest and to be transparent and to come out and be proud of their products.
If Proposition 37 passes on November 6th, the question, of course, is whether the public will see those labels the same way that Martineau does. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.